ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Get a grant to go off to college and pan or even out. We need it now, we need a town, we need a place to pitch, we need a mound. Now I'm just a lazy boy, daydreaming in my lazy boy, in the cloud of smoke and playing this Marvin. Mama forgive me, should be thinking about Harvard, but that's too far away, niggas are starving. Nothing wrong for aim, just gotta change the target. I got dreams, a bag of Snitto, the size of pillows. I see pies every time my eyes glittles. I see rides, sixes, I gotta get those. Life's a bitch, I'm hoping I'll make an overdose. American dream, man. I'm just American dream, man. American dream, man. I see the lights right there, and it seems right there. It's not quite near, and it's not like we're professionals moving the decimals. Know where to cop, nah, gotta connect, no. Who in the F knows how to be successful? Need a personal Jesus. I'm in Depeche Mode, can say celestial. Song stars like Tony DeRusso. How you play the card? You ain't fucking with me. The irony's off. At all costs, better avoid these bars. Now let's start on your mark. You said let's go. Get out the car. Go on your circle. Cycle. This is a crash course, this ain't high school. Wake up Monday, dreaming again. You're a reality show, this season again.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 127 of the report. And we're rocking out to a little bit of Jay-Z today, man.
Up in your projects and head to the heights with big coke is processed. You gotta convince them that you're not from the precinct. Please speak slow, casino speaking no English. If he takes a liking after a couple of trips and your money is straight, he's gonna give you consignment. Now in the game, where only time can tell. Surviving droughts, I wish you well. Surviving droughts, I wish you well. How sick am I wish you health. I wish you wheels, I wish you wealth. I wish you insight so you can see for yourself. You can see the sign when the jacks are scheming and the cops are coming. You can read their mind, you can see from behind. You can read the fine, the game as we know it. One dream at a time, I'm American dreaming. American
yes dreaming. Indeed, man, yes indeed. Back on the mic, man. Episode 127 of the Span Report. I am your host, Mr. Span, man, and I'm glad to be back to it, man. Glad to be back to it. It's been a week. It's been a week since the last time I talked to y'all, man, and it's been a lot of shit going on, as always, right? It's always a whole lot of shit going on, man, real talk. And I want to talk to you guys about it, man. Of course, we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of the things that are going on down in Charlotte, North Carolina, man. We're going to talk about what's going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to talk about Derrick Rose again, man. We're going to talk about Kate Upton. We're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick again. It's so much shit, man. So much.
to get into. But before I get into all of that, of course, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Leave me those emails. I'll read those emails here on the show and respond to you here on the show as well. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me on those platforms. We can chop it up throughout the week. Follow me on Facebook here, man. Like the Mr. Span fan page. You can watch these shows live when I do the show. I got some music playing in the background. Let me turn this off. Okay. Yeah, but when I go live, man, you guys can check the show out live on the Mr. Span fan page. We do this every Saturday. I'm doing this a little bit later than normal, but every Saturday we do the Span Report live here on Facebook. So go ahead and like the Mr. Span fan page and you can catch up. You can watch this show on any device you have, really. Everything, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Go there, vote in the polls. Go there, watch the show. Go there and watch the videos that are associated with the podcast. Everything Span Report related is available there. You can donate to the show at thespanreport.com. You can give how often you like, as much as you like. And whatever you give, of course, is appreciated here at the Span Report. And iTunes and Stitcher, man, drop those 5-star reviews, man. 5 stars preferably, and those get read on this show as well, all right? All right, now, it's been a long week for your mans, right? It's been a long week. I got, like, a service anniversary at the job and shit this week, right? So, like, I've been working at this place, my place of employment for, like, 8 years now, right? And it's been a journey. It's been a journey at this place, man. I started off in this company doing meter reading, man, and now I do, like, you know, I'm a fitter, like I'm a pipe fitter, man, like through and through. Like, I've gone from meter reading to pipe fitting, and it's been a journey, man. I just finished my 5-year apprenticeship in pipe fitting this week also, which comes with a significant pay bump for your boy. Let's just say that. I am happy about it. The overtime is cost them a little bit more now when I have to do the OT, man. So I may do a little bit more OT than I was before because, yeah, man, I want that bread, right? So, I was doing that, man, just going through this service, the service anniversary and getting, you know, finished with my apprenticeship at the job, man. That's over and done with. I am a pipe fitter for real, man, and they have to pay me like one, and it's good, right? It is good, right? And not only that, man, I don't know if I told you guys this before, man. I used to be this, like, this Well Actually guy. You guys know the Well Actually guy, right? You know, the Well Actually guy is the dude who, like, you will say something, and there's this one guy who feels like he has to correct you on every fucking thing, right? So earlier this week, I'm talking about, you know, my service anniversary with the company and the fact that my apprenticeship is over with. And a guy that I work with comes on my status. And this is what I need to really stop doing, is like being friends with my coworkers and shit on Facebook. I don't put a whole hell of a lot up here, but still, right? But anyway, this motherfucker comes on my Facebook and he's like, "Well, actually, man, you know, your apprenticeship ended like 2 years ago. You didn't notice?" It's like, no. Right? Because me and this guy came in around the same time. He's not working at the same station that I am. And things operate a little bit differently depending on which location you work at, right? So he's like, "Yo, your classification changed 3 years ago." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever, dude. They paying me like a fitter now. That's what I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go with where they paying me for." He's like, "Well, no, you wasn't an apprentice no more. You wasn't an apprentice. You was a fitter." I'm like, "They wasn't paying me like a fitter. They were paying me like an apprentice." And he's like, "No, man, your duties and all that shit changed." I'm like, "Listen, dude, listen. I don't care about none of what you're talking about right now. Let me have this." Right? I don't need no Well Actually nigga on this right now. And then I, at the same time, I recognize that I used to be that guy. right? I used to be that Will Actually nigga, the nigga that always came in to correct you on some shit. And after a while, I can see how annoying that shit is, right? I can see how people can be like, you know what, man, fuck this dude. Why? How come every time I see this guy, he's always trying to tell me what I said wrong? Right, and it's especially worse when the only time you hear from those people is when you fucking up. They never come and talk to you when you got shit on the up and up. They always wanted, like, they lurk in the background, and then they tell you when you fucking up. And I ain't gonna lie, I used to be that nigga. I ain't that guy no more, and I see how, you know, like, I can see how annoying that shit is, especially when it was happening to me this week, right? So I'm just like, yo, dude, like, pump your brakes. We share this anniversary together as far as, like, you know, coming out of this apprenticeship or whatever. We both get significant pay raises. Nigga, just chill out, man. Enjoy your money. Just enjoy your extra money. Like I'm going to, right? Like I'm going to. So that was happening this week, right? Another thing, man, that happened this week, man. I told you guys last week about this this whole Note 7 recall and the troubles that I was having actually just trying to turn my phone in, man. So earlier this week, man, you know, the Note 7, which is apparently for T-Mobile still not for sale. What they're doing is the only people who can get Note 7s at a T-Mobile store are those who already had Note 7s, right? They're not selling them. But I tried to go to a T-Mobile store in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and return my recalled Note 7. And they wouldn't let me do it. As a matter of fact, they told me that I would have to give them $120 to do it, which has something to do with, like, my upgrades and everything else, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Why would I give you $120 to bring back a phone that you say I need to bring back? And two, why would I use one of my upgrades to do it? I'm not going to do it. So they wouldn't let me bring the phone back. Part of the reason why was because your man Span tried to be responsible and do one of those loaner phones, right? They sent me a loaner phone, and the loaner phone showed up a day before the replacement Note 7s were to be made available. So I didn't even bother setting that phone up. I didn't bother, like, trying to put any information into it. I left that damn thing in a box. I looked at it for a minute, put it in the box, and then that was it, right? So I go to the T-Mobile store, try to turn in my Note 7, and they were like, well, you got to bring in the loaner phone with you. If you don't have the loaner phone with you, you got to give us $120. Basically, they were making this entirely hard. Like, they were making this way too hard, or harder than it had to be, for me to return a phone that you guys say is defective. Now, mind you, I told you guys I was having no troubles with my Note 7. Absolutely no troubles with my Note 7. And I was cool with, like, rocking with it until, you know, until the wheels fell off, until they started, like, really trying to pump up like, they were trying to push a software update that was coming through that where they were going to, like, cripple your battery to where it can only charge up to, like, 60% or some shit like that. And I didn't even bother trying to install that upgrade, you know, that software update. But I just wanted to go just hurry up and get the shit over and done with, right? So I get on the phone with T-Mobile, and they're like, yo, we're sorry you walked out of the store without a new phone, but we'll send you a new Note 7 to whatever location, you know, whichever store is closest to your home. We'll send it to them, and then you can go there and you can pick up the phone. I'm like, well, shit, why don't y'all send it to my house if we're going to do that? And basically, they're trying to, you know, like, it was one of those things where they were talking about how it was dangerous for me to give my Note 7 back to them through, like, the, like, FedEx or UPS or whatever. So I had to take it back to the store and whatnot. And yeah, man, it was a thing. It was way harder than it fucking had to be to take a phone back that y'all say is defective. So, I mean, at the end of the day, your man Span did end up turning in his Note 7, and I got another one, and there we go, right? There we go. So that's how we rocking out, right? That's how we rocking out. So that's over and done with, man. The Note 7 shit is done. I'm done talking about it, right? Now, another thing happened over the course of this week that I thought was a little odd, man, and this happened last year. National Daughter's Day, right? I saw people on Facebook. I saw people on Twitter. I saw people on Instagram. Everybody's kind of celebrating National Daughter's Day. They're taking pictures with them and the daughters and stuff like that. It was a beautiful thing. You know, babies out, you know, smiling with the parents and shit, having a good time, celebrating love, celebrating being loved, and celebrating the awesomeness that is having a daughter and all of these things, right? And then there was this contingent of motherfuckers who came out once again, like, yo, man, you know, this ain't really National Daughter's Day. You know, that's some shit that they just made up. That's like a Facebook holiday, my nigga. This ain't even real shit. Right? So that shit happened. And I'm like, and this is something that I said last year. It's like, yo, man, who gives a fuck if it's made up? Who cares? Why do you care so much that this is a made up holiday? Really, real talk. I mean, I would get it if it was they were celebrating something negative. Like if it was something that like people were like, I don't know, like, you know, National Don't Pay Your Child Support Day or National Beat a Motherfucker Down Day or some shit like that. It was nothing like that. It was just somebody, it was something to spread love. It was something to elevate young girls. It was something to celebrate the love that parents have for their daughters. And still, there were niggas and women who, for whatever reason, felt like they had the shit on that. And it's like, yo, y'all niggas are mad all the time. All the time. I can't be mad like that all the time. And I'm considered a pretty angry nigga. like real talk, I have the reputation for being a pretty angry dude. And even I'm just like, yo, man, why y'all so mad? Why are y'all so mad? It's some miserable people in this world, man. Considering all the shit that we deal with on the day-to-day, all the shit that we see on the news all the time, for something nice to happen, for something that takes your mind just for a second off of the bullshit that we have to deal with on the day-to-day. I could not fathom why niggas took their time to shit on something as simple as National Daughter's Day. Y'all some miserable motherfuckers, man. Y'all need hugs. Y'all really need some hugs, man. Real talk. I'll give y'all a hug, man. I'll give y'all a hug. All right. Now, yeah, but that's all of my random thoughts for the week, man. I mean, outside of like staying at work for 24 hours over the course of, what was that, Thursday? That's part of the reason why this show was late today, man, because I was at work for 24 fucking hours straight Thursday, and it kind of threw off my whole prep, you know, my prep time and everything else. But yeah, man, it's been an eventful week, right? It's just been an eventful week, no real talk. But outside of that, man, we do have something new for you guys, man. Now, I've been doing this whole sexy time with Mrs. Span thing, right? And I think it's time. I think it's time for some more sexy time with Mr. Span.
Yeah, baby. It's sexy time. Mr. Span.
All right, now, today on Sexy Time with Mr. Span, man, I got this video, man. I saw this shit earlier today, and this is crazy, right? So, I don't really know how to describe this. Okay, there is like a naked mime dancing, and there's this dude singing. But he don't really know the words to the shit that he's singing. All right. So I'm going to let the video. I'm just going to let the video speak for itself here on the Span Report. Hold on. Let me get this shit set up for you guys, man. So you can check this out. Let's pause this. And okay. And we want the HD version. We want to be able to see what's going on. And it won't let me get that option. Okay, screw it then. Okay, so let's full screen. Wait, damn it. I got too much going on. All right,
So here we go. We're gonna watch this video, and yeah, let's do this. Wait. All right, there we go. There we go. Check this out, y'all.
Whoop that is, 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 whoop that. Yo, you say you never had a good man. I don't know the words. I'm a freak you like you want it.
Yeah.
I'm a freak you like you need it. I'm a freak you like you want it. Dun, dun. That's all the anti-Z. Bigger than the ladies in the house tonight. Are you ready? Ladies in the house tonight wanna get it on. Okay, shake them titties, shake them, shake them, shake them. Hey, come on, you play too.
I never watched that shit all the way to the end. Oh damn! All right, man. So, yeah, man, that's that was sexy time. Mr. Span this week. God damn. You know what's funny, man? That song, man, they play that so much at like cabarets and shit here in Detroit. I'm kind of wondering if they're like Detroit residents or something like that, because they play that song so much at like cabarets, man. Everybody, like, it's like you go to a Detroit cabaret and like they got the same songs over and over and over again. It's like, you know, the playlist. If you go into cabarets for any length of time in the city of Detroit, then you know what the playlist is gonna be. You gonna get that Cupid Shuffle. You gonna get the Wobble Shuffle or whatever. Well, I think they call it the Wobble Shuffle or something like that. I don't really do the shuffles and shit, but yeah, man, they got all of that. And every song that they sang just about is like, you know, the playlist for a Detroit cabaret. But either way, A Naked Mind Dancing, I thought that was funny. And I feel like I should share that with you guys, man. Real time. All right, man. But outside of that, man, we do have to kind of segue to something a bit more serious, man. A little bit of an update on Derrick Rose, right? So, of course, you guys know that Derrick Rose has been accused of, of a sexual assault, where he and two other men forced themselves on a young woman in his home, right? Excuse me. So, right now, Derrick Rose, this is really, it's a civil suit that's going on. That she did not go to the police, and she's going through the civil court route in order to try to seek some sort of justice and whatnot. And for the most part, she has been able to operate under anonymity, because, you know, her name has been sealed by court order by the judge over the case. Well, Derrick Rose's lawyers have been fighting for the ability to have this woman outed, or to have her name put out in the public, or to have her not be able to be anonymous in this case. And Derrick Rose has got his wish. So I'm reading a story here from TMZ. And TMZ says the woman suing Derrick Rose for allegedly gang raping her with his friends may no longer use a pseudonym and must reveal her identity when the case moves forward, a judge has ruled. The woman filed her lawsuit under the name Jane Doe in an effort to stay anonymous and protect her privacy. Typically, the law allows someone who claims to be the victim of a sex crime to file a lawsuit under their pseudonym to protect their privacy rights. But Rose filed court documents saying Doe had abused the privilege by going on a nationwide pretrial media blitz over the past week, which included phone interviews and a news conference. Now it seems that the judge agrees, with U.S. District Judge Michael Fitzgerald ruling that she must disclose her real name when the case goes to trial. Now, one of the things that I find real interesting about this, man, is, to some degree, I get why Derrick Rose would want this to happen, to have her name out there and everything else. But I remember when news of this first came out last year, I remember posting about this last year, and dudes were hitting my post up like, yeah, her name should be out there. His name is out there. Her name should be out there, man, and all this other stuff. And one of the things I thought was like striking about that was that
there's a reason why the alleged victims are allowed this anonymity. And part of it is to keep them from having to deal with the harassment from people who aren't even associated with the case. Now, Derrick Rose is an international basketball superstar. He's not the player that he once was, but he's still relatively popular, not only in the NBA, but overseas in China. He's really big in China, as a matter of fact. So he has, his name has cachet all over the world, pretty much, right? So what tends to happen is with a player of his stature and with a player with his name and reputation, with a player of his stature and name and notoriety, is that a lot of his fans will take it upon themselves to start digging into this woman's history, start harassing this woman online, start harassing this woman in her private life. And that's part of the reason why they try to protect those alleged victims that way. And it's a little odd to see that the judge decided to kind of, you know, do away with that. And maybe it has something to do with the fact that she had given interviews and whatnot, but I'm just disappointed. I'm kind of disappointed that the judge would allow that to happen, where it opens an alleged victim up to being harassed by those who have absolutely nothing to do with the case to kind of insert themselves and harass her and whatnot. It doesn't protect an alleged victim much at all if they should have to disclose to the public who they are. So long as the principals involved in the case know who they are, then that really should be the end all be all of it. But, you know, Derrick Rose wins this round as far as his case is concerned. Now, another thing that happened over the course of this case, too, was in an attempt to discredit this woman, Derrick Rose has kind of drug Nick Young into the fray, right? Now, Nick Young, I know Nick Young is like, yo, man, why you niggas keep bringing me into y'all bullshit, right? I got enough shit going on. Why y'all keep bringing me into this shit, right? So Nick Young has allegedly hooked up with the woman who was accusing Derrick Rose of gang raping her with two of his friends, right? So in an effort to discredit the credibility of this young woman, Derrick Rose is saying, well, yo, she's not as, you know, prudish as she's putting on. You know, she's been with other NBA players, Nick Young being one of them. And it's like, again, with Nick Young, he's like, yo, man, why y'all talking about me, man? I ain't got shit to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Why y'all bringing me up? He's already lost his fiance, Iggy Azalea, because what was that kid's name? Ah, shit, I can't think of his name. Russell. D'Angelo Russell, point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers, kind of dimed him out about cheating on Iggy Azalea last year or earlier this year. Sometime. Either way, I know Nick Young is tired of these niggas putting his name in their mouths when it comes to them getting in trouble with women or just bringing his name up, period, when somebody's in trouble for something. I know Nick Young is tired of that. But yeah, Nick Young was allegedly with this woman. She allegedly texted a friend of hers to have Nick Young return a bra or something like that. And so Derrick Rose and his lawyers, in an attempt to discredit this woman, to say that she isn't as prude as she says she is, uses Nick Young's alleged meeting with her to say that, you know, she may have been down for the group sex with Derrick Rose and his friends, despite the fact that Derrick Rose said not only, I think I talked about this last week, said that he had absolutely no clue what consent meant, right? So as a Bulls fan, man, I know he plays for the Knicks and shit now, but like I'm looking at this whole thing, man, and it's like, yo, man, come on, bro. Like, it's just shaky, man. Like, this whole thing with Derrick Rose just like screams creepy nigga. Like, it screams creepy nigga. And I'm sorry, like, and you know what? Not only that, it kind of reminds me a little bit about how, like, Nate Parker. Like, one of the reasons that Nate Parker got off for the rape charges that he was being accused of back at Penn State, who got their asses whooped by the University of Michigan today, by the way. But one of the reasons that Nate Parker was able to come out of that was because he had previous sexual relationship or a previous sexual relationship with the victim, right, or the alleged victim. he had a previous sexual relationship with her. And so because he had previously had sex with her, that meant that the time that he did have sex with her at that time was consensual also. That was kind of the technicality that he kind of got off on with that. And right now, Derrick Rose is kind of trying to use that because he had sex with this woman previous times, but that does not mean that she was cool with him introducing two more dicks into the scenario. And I'm kind of wondering why he would want to introduce two more dicks into the scenario. That's why I'm just like, yo, man, that's a little, I don't get it. So, yeah, man, that's been going on, man. But yeah, you know, let's get into some of this this hard hitting shit, right? So, there have been a couple of shootings by police of black men in the United States, two high profile shootings. Over the course of this last week, we've got the killing of Keith Lamont Scott and Terrence Crutcher this week, and the killing of Terrence Crutcher came at a time where we are still debating the merits of a Colin Kaepernick demonstration where he decides where he doesn't want to stand up for the national anthem and put his hand on his heart, that he may take a seat or he may take a knee in, you know, a demonstration that has caught fire across not only the NFL, but in MLS and college basketball. I mean, not college basketball, but college football, high school football, different sports all over the country, man. People are deciding to demonstrate in solidarity with what Colin Kaepernick is bringing attention to. And, you know, Terrence Crutcher was killed while trying to get help with his truck, man. His truck stalls out in the middle of a road. He's approached by a police officer. I believe her name, what was her name? Betty Shelby. Betty Shelby approaches him. And we get the same tired story about a police officer fearing for their life, that the victim was reaching for something, or that they had a weapon, or that they were they presented an imminent threat, right? And I had to shoot them. I had to eliminate this threat in front of me. And if you watch like the dash cam video, what happens if, you know, I'm kind of flabbergasted by anybody who would say that they were in fear for their life, but they're also following behind the person whom they believe presents an imminent threat. I'm flabbergasted by that. Like, why you would take yourself from a position of concealment or a position of cover to keep yourself from harm's way. And you still have a weapon, right? Now, Terrence Crutcher was, for all intents and purposes, he wasn't armed. He had his hands in the air. And there was not only dash cam video, but there was also a helicopter floating overhead watching this entire scenario play out. You've got the officers in the helicopter who are giving their own commentary, talking about how a bad guy Terrence Crutcher looked to be, that he wasn't being cooperative, that he was non-compliant, all of these things. And outside of him being black, you can't really find out how in the hell from 1,000 feet up, 500 feet up, could you tell that he was a big, bad black guy? He was a bad guy. How would the fuck would you know that? There's this implicit racism that goes on. And I'm tired of talking about it. I'm so tired of talking about it. Like, how do you? I don't get it. I don't get how in the fuck can a man have his hands up and you still shoot him and say he was reaching in the car, only to find out later that the fucking windows to the car were rolled up. How does that happen? Right? How does that happen? Now, because, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny going on. This happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but there's a lot of scrutiny going on with this case. You know, they've already charged Officer Betty Shelby with manslaughter in this case. They've already charged her, which is, you know, for the most part, like, see, they lowered the fucking bar so low where you almost have to celebrate them actually bringing charges, because most of these instances end up with no charges ever being brought whatsoever. A grand jury takes on the case and they decide not to indict. Officer goes on paid administrative leave. They get found, you know, not worthy of being indicted. There's not enough evidence to go to court despite the video, despite the evidence that everyone in the fucking America have seen. And they go on about their fucking life, like Daniel Pantaleo, who just got a significant raise, kind of like me, got a significant raise after killing Eric Garner, after having his gun taken away from him, after being put on administrative leave, after being relegated to desk duty, he gets a pay bump. Come on, man. So, you want to applaud the charging of Officer Betty Shelby, but at the same time, man, you know, at the end of the day, that's not enough. It's definitely not enough. Consequences need to be had for these officers in order for you to not have an angry black populace taken to the streets, right? Now, the one thing about, well, not even the one thing about this, with Terrence Crutcher and with like Eric Garner and Mike Brown and all of the others who have been gunned down by police, there's the attempt to assassinate their character posthumously. There is an attempt to justify why that officer felt the need to use deadly force when we've seen multiple examples of them not exerting that same sort of force against different groups of people. There is not that same level of scrutiny given to the police officer who actually committed the crime in these particular instances. And that's what gets people so fucking upset. And so not only does Terrence Crutcher die at the hands of the police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but then you have the brother Keith Lamont Scott in Charlotte. Keith Lamont Scott gets shot in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's waiting at home for his son to get home from school. And one of the things that kind of happened, you know, like I haven't seen the video that the police have put out. I know before I went on air that the police in Charlotte have decided to release the footage of the Keith Lamont Scott killing. But that was only after people took to the streets in Charlotte. There's a state of emergency issued in the state of Charlotte, in the city of Charlotte right now, where people took to the streets for not only one night, a couple nights. People are still out there demonstrating right now, right? And the family of Keith Lamont Scott has released their own video of what happened. His wife was videotaping the incident as well. Now, it wasn't necessarily definitive as to what exactly happened, but you get a sense of what was going on there from watching that video. And it brings to light one of the things that happened in North Carolina earlier this year, man, where the governor signed into law where, you know, in order for you to get, you know, access to the dash cam video and to the body cam video of the police officers, that you'd have to get a fucking court order to see it. And that goes for the public, that goes for the media, that goes for everybody. And it was one of those things where you're like, yo, why would you guys do that? Why would you try to put this under a veil of secrecy? Because you're not gaining any trust from the community when you do things like that. The community trust is already broken when you do things like that. I mean, it's broken already, but you're not helping the situation any. And so it took people taking to the streets, raising hell, in order for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department to decide, well, we probably should be prudent in releasing this video. I haven't seen it yet. But it's one of those things, man, where I think here, like in America right now, man, we're at a breaking point where people are tired of the same shit happening without consequence. It's happening without consequence, and people are tired of that shit. And I don't want to speak anything like that into existence, but it spawns things like what happened in Dallas, Texas, where folks feel like they don't have any recourse, they don't have any way of getting justice through the system, because the system has shown it time and again that they don't give a fuck about you. So they take it by some other means, and sometimes those other means are nefarious ones. And sometimes those other means can distract from the overall message. It can take from the overall message. But you can only push a people to a certain point. Right? You can only push a people to a certain point. Now, I want to say this, though. And this goes to, like, folks like Kate Upton and... who's that? It was Kate Upton. There was Boomer Esiason. There's James Woods. There's so many. Hold on, I think I had a list of them. There's Trent Dilfer, Drew Brees, Tony Stewart. Where the fuck are y'all right now? Where the fuck are y'all? You know, Colin Kaepernick decided to do a silent protest. He was over on the bench minding his own fucking business. Just minding his business. Wasn't saying anything to anybody. He just sat there on the seat, chilling. He did his thing silently. He didn't bring attention to himself whatsoever. Someone decided to ask Colin Kaepernick a question about why it was that he decided to sit during the national anthem. And he said exactly why he decided to sit during the national anthem. And folks went out of their way to make it about everything but what Colin Kaepernick said he was demonstrating against. And so at the start of the NFL season, man, so many people had had shit to say. Kate Upton, right? Kate Upton was, and I'm looking at my website, and I just... Jesus Christ, man. I didn't even hit the publish button on this episode. But yeah, it'll be up by the time you guys see this. But Kate Upton decided to say that it was like disgusting for Colin Kaepernick to demonstrate in the way that he did during the national anthem, especially on 9/11, because we have to remember the first responders and everything like that. So Kate Upton, as a matter of fact, I did have a screenshot here. It says Kate Upton on Twitter last week was like, this is unacceptable. You should be proud to be an American, especially on 9/11, where we should support each other. Right. And then she, you know, after being dragged on Twitter for a good long while, she decided to go on Instagram and try to clarify herself. And she said, in my opinion, the national anthem is a symbolic song about our country. It represents honoring the many brave men and women who sacrificed their lives each and every single day to protect our freedom. Sitting or kneeling down during the national anthem is a disgrace to those people who have served and currently serve our country. Sitting down during the national anthem on September 11th is even more horrific. Protest all you want and use social media all you want. However, during the nearly 2 minutes when the song is playing, I believe everyone should put their hands on their heart and be proud of our country, for we are all truly blessed. Recent history has shown that it is a place where anyone, no matter what race or gender, has the potential to become president of the United States. We live in the most special place in the world and should be thankful. And after the song is over, I would encourage everyone to please use the podium they have, stand up for their beliefs, and make America a better place. The rebuilding of Battery Park and the Freedom Tower demonstrates the amazing things that can be done in this country when we work together towards a common goal. It is a shame how we quickly have forgotten this as a society. Today, we are more divided than ever before. I could never imagine multiple people sitting down during the national anthem on September 11th anniversary. The lessons of 9/11 should teach us that we have to come together, that if we come together, the world can be a better and more peaceful place. Hashtag never forget. Where the fuck is Kate Upton today? Where is she? Has she said anything? Anything at all concerning the deaths of Keith Lamont Scott and Terrence Crutcher? Are these not tragedies? Are these events not horrific? Where the fuck are you, Kate Upton? Where the fuck are you now? Quiet as fucking church mice, right? But you know what? She's not the only one, though, man. She is not the only one. Boomer Esiason went out of his way to say something about the Colin Kaepernick demonstration. He was interviewed, I forget exactly what radio station it was, but I know Boomer Esiason is like a CBS radio analyst. He does a lot of stuff for CBS and for their NFL coverage and everything. And Boomer Esiason went out of his way to say, I cannot say in the strongest, most direct way that it is an embarrassment and that it's as disrespectful as any athlete has ever been. He said, I don't care what the cause is. The NFL football field is not a place for somebody to further their political ambitions. Can you imagine if a player went out on the field with a Make America Great Again hat and let's vote for Donald Trump? It's the same thing. You know what? That's kind of happened. Tom Brady did that shit. Tom Brady had that Make America Great Again hat chilling in his fucking locker, where press often go to ask him questions about the game. Let's not act fucking brand new, Boomer Esiason. But that's not all. Boomer Esiason further went on to say that Colin Kaepernick is severely underinformed, and I welcome him to go on a ride in a cop car and make numerous 911 calls, going into places where guns and violence are everyday occurrences. Put on that blue uniform and put on the shield and see what it's like to put your life in harm's way every single day, and then get back to me when you're making $35,000 to $40,000 a year as opposed to the $11 million he's making. Now, I want you guys to, I really want this to sink in with you. Every day you step outside of your fucking door, there's no guarantee that you're going to come home. Every day that you step out of your door, there is no guarantee that you're going to come back home. I don't give a fuck what your occupation is. I know that police have a tough job. Lots of folks have tough jobs. As a matter of fact, being a police officer isn't even the most dangerous job you can have. But goddamn if we don't kiss their ass. We give the police so much fucking latitude. We honor them in such a way where, like, any criticism whatsoever of the police and their tactics and how they execute them against black folks is looked at as treasonous. But Boomer Esiason had all this shit to say about Colin Kaepernick's demonstration. Where is Boomer Esiason right now? Where is he? Where is Kate Upton right now? Where is Boomer Esiason right now? Where's James Woods right now? James Woods came out of his mouth and said, I'm not going to watch NFL games no more. Nigga, stop lying. All of you motherfuckers that started talking about, yo, this is so disrespectful. The NFL shouldn't allow him to play. He should have been cut by the 49ers. I'm not going to watch no games no more. Y'all are motherfucking lying. Y'all watching every Sunday. Some of y'all are going out of y'all way to spend money to burn Colin Kaepernick's jersey. Money that is also being used to be donated for efforts to stop police brutality. So I would hope y'all spend a whole hell of a lot more money. Go ahead and buy all the Kaepernick jerseys and burn them, so long as that money goes to good causes. Because y'all look real fucking stupid. Y'all look like real losers, dude. Real losers. Right? But you know what? It wasn't just Boomer Esiason. It wasn't just Kate Upton. But then you had Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer had a lot to say about what was going on with Colin Kaepernick and how he should behave. This is Trent Dilfer and his response to Colin Kaepernick.
I think for the most part, the football community has been irresponsible of how we've handled it, because people aren't tuning into us to hear about what we feel about a lot of these social issues. Now, first of all, what you two said, I do think that's appropriate. Matthew and I have a very small voice in this. We haven't experienced what Colin has experienced, what you guys have experienced at times. But I do think the audience also needs to understand how this relates to football and a team. And I think the beauty of football that we all miss so much, you guys more than me because you're just coming out of it, is football is the ultimate team game. And you want to be a championship teammate. You fully want to be bought into having your team have the best chance of success. Then you put your team above yourself. And no matter how passionate you are, no matter how much of a burden you have for a social issue, you don't let it get in the way of the team. And the big thing that hit me through all this is a backup quarterback whose job is to be quiet and sit in the shadows and get the starter ready to play week one. Yet he chose a time where all of a sudden he became the center of attention. And it has disrupted that organization. It has caused friction and has torn at the fabric of the team. Although I respect what he's doing, and I respect the passion and burden he has for this issue, a massive issue, I do not respect the fact that he put himself and his stance above his team, because he's not the only one that's passionate about big social issues. There's also slavery going on in our country right now. There's people that are passionate about the End It movement and International Justice Mission, which are handling enormous social issues about children in slavery in our country. And there's players in our league that are just as passionate about that. But they don't use the platform that an organization, a team, gave them to find it as a pulpit. And I think Colin used very poor judgment in when he chose to make this honorable stand for something he's passionate about, because ultimately it tears at the fabric of your team.
All right. He had a lot to say about Colin Kaepernick's demonstration. Despite the fact that Colin Kaepernick didn't necessarily publicize this himself, he protested in silence until he was asked about it. Now, Keith Lamont Scott, Terrence Crutcher, have since been killed by police after Colin Kaepernick decided to use that platform to bring light to these issues. Has Trent Dilfer said anything after this? Has anybody heard from Trent Dilfer? Has anybody seen Trent Dilfer? I haven't. Especially saying anything concerning this particular issue here. Trent Dilfer had a whole hell of a lot to say, but he didn't have anything to say about these two incidents. But he wasn't the only one. He was not the only one. Drew Brees also went out of his way to talk shit.
It does not matter who the player is. So it happened to be Colin Kaepernick. It could have been anybody. It could have been a white player. It could have been an African-American player. Someone of any race, any color. And it could have been any issue. All right? It happened to be injustices against African-Americans. It could have been any issue. It could have been healthcare reform. It could have been who's running for president. It could have been anything. The thing that I disagree with was the fact that there is a person who is disrespecting the flag of the United States of America to try to make that point. So it's not that I disagreed with the protest. In fact, I agree. It's very valid, his reasoning. But what I disagreed with was the method by which he chose to protest, which is to sit down and disrespect the flag of the United States of America. So end of discussion.
Like, they really care a lot about that flag. Like, they care so much about that flag. So much so that they will ignore the very fucking issue that Colin Kaepernick is demonstrating against. And not only that, not say a fucking thing about what it was that he was demonstrating against. Has Drew Brees said anything about what happened to Keith Lamont Scott and Terrence Crutcher? Anything? Anything? I mean, real talk. You've even had dudes like Jerry Rice, who had something to say about Colin Kaepernick. He disagreed with his methods and everything, and then all of a sudden he flipped it, and now he's in favor of what Colin Kaepernick is doing. You got Ray Lewis out here going out of his fucking way to bring up black-on-black crime as if nobody's fucking talking about that, the same way Jason Whitlock's bitch-ass tends to do. Even Cam Newton, man. Even Cam Newton went out of his way to talk about the hypocrisy of talking about all these white police officers shooting black people, and we don't talk about black-on-black crime, as if nobody has been talking about black-on-black crime. Nobody talks about it. What world are you living in when nobody talks about black-on-black crime? Anytime this issue comes up, what about black-on-black crime? Every time. So, Tony Stewart, race car driver, killed somebody on the track, had the nerve to say that Colin Kaepernick was being disrespectful. This man killed somebody on a race car track, man. Narrowly escaped being tried for that. Found room in his schedule to talk about Colin Kaepernick being disrespectful for bringing light to the fact that black people are being gunned down by police in disproportionate numbers. We're finding out more and more, and this is why I love what Colin Kaepernick is doing, because we're finding out more and more who the races are amongst us. All of these people who are sitting in your face laughing and giggling and talking to you and trying to be, you know, and trying to act as if they're really your friend, and you find out what they really believe in instances like this. You find out who they are. A lot of people are outing themselves, tripping over themselves to let it be known that they don't fuck with you like that. Right? And so I'm trying to figure out where all these people are disappearing to, man. Like, it's almost like it's like an act, man. It's like disappearing acts. Like, everybody just fucking disappearing. Like, they had all this shit to say, and then things start happening during the week, and now ain't nobody got nothing to say. Ain't nobody saying shit. None of these motherfuckers are saying shit. So, yeah, man. I want to say, man, to all of my people down in Charlotte, man, those of you who are demonstrating, man, be safe down there, man. Be mindful of the threat against you. Get home. But be safe nonetheless. I want that to be the message to everybody, man. I certainly get it, man. And It is sad that even in this time that we still have to do these things, right? Now, I'm under no illusions, and I think I said this on Facebook a couple weeks ago, probably it was this week or something, but I'm under no illusions, man, that we are living in the time of the 1960s. Like, I understand that there have been some gains in this country. I am living a life that my mother dreamed of. I am living a life that my grandmother and my grandfather dreamed of. I have access to things that they did not have access to. And I stand on the shoulders of giants because I'm able to live the life that I live because of them. But at the same time, I'm also lucid enough and aware enough to recognize that there are a lot of things that need to change. There are a lot of things that need to be addressed still, even still in 2016. And I hope we leave this world better than we inherited it. And if you have a problem with the demand for justice, with the demand for equal opportunity, with the demand for equal rights, with the demand for equal respect in this country, you are part of the fucking problem. I don't give a fuck about what race you are, because there's a whole lot of niggas is out here talking this same shit these white folks are. They go out of their way to talk shit about those who are fighting on behalf of them. And it's no different than it was in the 1960s. There were some people who were content with the way things were. Right? Some people thought you were doing a little bit too much rabble rousing. You caused too much trouble, man. You bringing too much heat around here. We don't need that trouble around here. The white folks treat us good around here. Get your ass from around here, boy. Some of them same niggas exist today. And you see them every day. They go out of their fucking way. Go out of their way to denigrate what the work that's going on in the streets for them. Right? So yeah, man. It's a lot of disappearing acts going on. And I notice it. I know a lot of people outside of me have noticed it as well. But at the end of the day, man, keep up this fight. And like I said, man, for all of you guys down there demonstrating down in Charlotte, man, and bringing attention and bringing the noise and forcing the state to move in the way in which you want it to move, do that. Do that. Right? But it is time for our ass hat of the week. We got a new ass hat this week, and this is so well earned. This ass hat is so well earned. Let me find my ass hat music. Here we go.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And today's ass hat is none other than Mike Ditka, former head football coach of the Chicago Bears and New Orleans Saints. Mike Ditka apparently is upset with Colin Kaepernick. He's very upset with Colin Kaepernick. As a matter of fact, Mike Ditka went out of his way to tell us how much wrong Colin Kaepernick was because of his demonstrations, right? So, let's see what Mike Ditka, this week's asshat, had to say about Colin Kaepernick.
Coach, where do you stand on this whole Colin Kaepernick issue?
Well, in what way? What do you mean?
Oh, do you have a problem with Colin Kaepernick?
I think it's a problem. Anybody who disrespects this country and the flag, if they don't like the country, they don't like our flag, get the hell out. That's what I think. So, if you're asking me, I have no respect for Colin Kaepernick. He probably has no respect for me. That's his choice. My choice is that I like this country. I respect our flag. And I don't see all the atrocities going on in this country that people say are going on. I see opportunities that people want to look for opportunities. Now, if they don't want to look for them, then you can find problems with anything. But this is the land of opportunity, because you can be or anything you want to be if you work. Now, if you don't work, there's a different problem.
All right. Now, Mike Ditka represents what needs to die in America, right? He represents an attitude that definitely needs to die in America. The problem is that attitude isn't going anywhere. We see it in the likes of people like Tommy Lahren, right? We see that in the likes of Glenn Beck. We see that in the likes of Sean Hannity. We see that in the likes of all of the people who are Donald Trump's surrogates, right? We see that in all of these folks, man. That attitude is not dying away. They've even come up with some new shit called the alt-right, right? It's not going away, but this is the attitude that needs to go. This is the attitude that needs to die. Because Mike Ditka just said he doesn't see these atrocities that are going on, despite the fact that this shit is happening every day. Despite the fact that we can turn on any news channel and find out the police in whatever city in America has probably gunned down an unarmed black person, and Mike Ditka, for whatever reason, hasn't seen none of it. He don't know what the fuck everybody out there demonstrating for. He's mad at Colin Kaepernick. He has no respect for what Colin Kaepernick is doing. Well, you know what, man? I had no fucking respect for you, and I'm not a Bears fan. Fuck you. You racist piece of shit. And for that, Mike Ditka is this week's ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But, of course, we do have a champ.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
All right, now this week's champ of the week is none other than 8-year-old Thomas Moore, man. Now, I saw this video of young Thomas Moore earlier this week, man, and it was one of the things that kind of inspired it. It kind of inspired your boy, right? Now, one of the things about this that inspired me, man, is it kind of reminded me of the innocence of children, man, and how pure of heart children are before the world fucks with them and turns them into cynical human beings, where they look at the world in such simple and innocent ways, man, and it makes sense. It makes sense, and we all should be sort of pure heart in the way that these kids are. But this young man, he was 8 years old, man. He decided to grow his hair out and donate it to a young woman, or a little girl. She was dealing with cancer. She was battling cancer, and he wanted to help and decided that he was going to grow his hair out so that he can donate his hair to that young lady. Right now, I'm trying to find the video of this story, man, because I know I have it on my Facebook, and I'm trying to scroll down and find it amongst all the bullshit that we've been subjected to over the course of the last week or so. I'm trying to find this story. Where is it? I know I got it. Just a minute, people. As we, where is it? Where is it? Come on, comp. There we go. Okay. So, we're gonna, I'm gonna just play this video for you guys in a second. Hold on. All right. Here we go.
And I asked, why is that boy bald? And she said, that's not a boy. That's a girl. She has cancer. So I said, what's cancer? I decided that I could grow my hair and just donate it to Kissy. I feel like, and I can lose my hair faster.
Actually, I don't need enough hair to make
three
wigs.
Because I want to spend like the rest of the fifth grade with this hairstyle. Yeah, I just want to like gear off.
Yeah, man. So kudos, man. Kudos to young Thomas Moore, man. He is the Span Report Podcast Champ of the Week, man. And that touched your boy. That touched your boy, man. Real talk, man. To see a young man just give of himself so freely, man. Like I said, it's inspiring to see young people be so selfless, and it's just reminds me of how fucked up this world is, to where we turn our young people into such cynical human beings, man. But it was good to be reminded that you know kids are so pure of heart, man. And yeah, man, that touched your boy, man. So Thomas Moore is the Span Report Champ of the Week this week here on the Span Report, man. And yeah, man. Good luck, homie. Good luck, little dude. Real talk. But it's time for me to get out of here, man. But before I go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those voicemail messages. I'm sorry, leave those email messages. I read them here on the show and respond. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. And also, hit me up on Facebook on the Mr. Span fan page. Watch these shows live. Follow me on Mr. Span fan page. Watch the shows live on any computer, tablet, cell phone, TV, whatever, check these shows out live, man. Like the Mr. Span fan page. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of your Span Report needs are made there, are left there, man, are just there for you. You can go there and vote in the polls. You can go there and leave comments on all the episodes. Whatever you need. Whatever you need. You can donate to the show if you like. How often you like, as much as you like. And it's all appreciated, right? But yeah, man, go to thespanreport.com. And everything you need is available there, real talk. But it's time for me to get out of here, man. And I appreciate you guys being here with me and watching the show. And I appreciate you guys listening. So until next time, fam, peace.